This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Margot Price has just released her fourth studio album, Strays. The Nashville-based singer-songwriter has never been one to stick to the beaten path with her music, and Strays not only sees her changing up her sonic style into something more psychedelic, it also comes from a period of great personal change for her. Coming up, Margot and I discuss the record, the psychedelic trip that inspired it, and we'll also chat about her recent memoir called Maybe We'll Make It, which was released in October 2022. Starting off with a song that speaks to the theme of Strays, here's Change of Heart from Margot Price.
One of these days, you're gonna wake up older with a hole in your pocket and a blade on your shoulder. Both your legs, so don't come running to me. And a change of heart, and a change of heart. Don't worry about the war, nobody's winning. Don't worry about the rain, it's only beginning.
Try.
performed live at World Cafe by Margo Price. That was Change of Heart. It's a song from her new album, Strays. I'm Raina Duris. Margo Price is my guest today. Margo, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you back. I wanted to start with your performance of Change of Heart because listening to this album, it really does feel like something has changed for you on a personal level and on a creative music level. Let's talk about the music a little bit first. You live in Nashville, but you went to California to record this record with Jonathan Wilson, awesome producer, known for his kind of classic rock, Laurel Canyon sound. Why was Jonathan the right fit to produce this album?
You know, I got on the phone with a lot of different producers, kind of deep COVID, and was just having phone calls. And as soon as I spoke to Jonathan, I just knew that he was the guy. I had sent him like a bunch of kind of demos and stuff that we made, and he was just so excited about it. He sent me photos of the new studio that he had built out there in Sepanga Canyon. And it's like an old house that he has like converted into this studio. And there's lots of like, it's all wood, just lots of natural elements. And one thing that was really special that he had there in the studio was the Heartbreakers organ that Ben Montench plays, and also Ben Montench's grand piano, because he had just recorded a solo album in there with Jonathan as well, all on tape. I mean, there's just something about the Heartbreakers organ that it's no other organ sounds like that. So we were really lucky to be able to kind of put that all over our record as well.
Is there a spot on the album where you particularly love how that organ sounds?
Oh my goodness. Been to the Mountain. I think that, you know, that song in particular, we actually showed that song to Mike Campbell when we were doing pre-production, and we were doing some co-writes with Mike, and really lucky to be able to go spend some time out there with him. So really having like his kind of guidance, showing him the songs and having him be really excited about them as well was important for us, because we look up to the Heartbreakers in a big way. And I think that just getting little pieces of their magic kind of all sprinkled in there, it's just a sound that you hear it and you know.
Yeah. I'm going to play a little bit of the opening track, Been to the Mountain. Then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Bit of Been to the Mountain, the opening track from Margo Price's new album, Strays, that features the organ that is from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. This album, it comes out of a time that was, you know, pretty transitional for you. I know that you stopped drinking and that you started writing this album while you were still drinking. Where in the process of making this record did you quit?
So this January will be 2 years for me, and that also kind of lets you know how long I've been working on this album. I've just spent more time on this than any other project. And, you know, it kind of coincided with my memoir as well, which took me 4.5 years to write that. And yeah, it was a lot of, this album was forged in a lot of different substances. We went to South Carolina and ate a lot of mushrooms. And yeah, I was still drinking at the time. And I had this psychedelic experience that kind of allowed me to give it up and not worry about, you know, people judging me. And then I also like went out and read a lot of books, got a lot of knowledge about what alcohol does to our brain and body. And, you know, I wish I had found those books sooner, but it's been kind of this, almost a spiritual experience. And this really, you know, it's just like, I don't struggle with it anymore. And I just don't even have to think about it.
My guest today is Margo Price. It's World Cafe. I heard, Willie Nelson also helped you out a little bit when you were quitting drinking. Is that right?
I mean, I've read Willie's memoir as well, and you know, he was able to back in the day give up the whiskey and the cigarettes and just rely on cannabis, and kind of having him as a mentor and just as someone that I really look up to, he's been able to, you know, do a lot of really good things for the cannabis world and just destigmatize really what the war on drugs has done to plant medicine. So having him there just as someone that I look up to and seeing like how he has, you know, went on to outlive a lot of his peers because he removed alcohol from his life at that point. You know, it's nice to have people that you see and it's like, oh, well, Willie Nelson's still cool. People don't like him any less because you know, he's mostly just smoked weed. So I really wanted to do the same thing for psychedelic medicine as well, because as I talk about in my book and, this album was incredibly influenced by psilocybin. I think that it's a very useful thing that, you know, of course people need to go out, they need to do the research, and I'm not advocating for anyone. I just want to share my experience because it's absolutely shaped the whole course of my life. I was going to college at Northern Illinois University when I had my first psychedelic experience. And 2 weeks later, I dropped out of school. I quit the varsity cheerleading team and I moved to Nashville, and I was like, I'm going to become a songwriter. And it showed me my path. I just, you know, for a long time I was worried about people judging me, and it just feels really freeing to just kind of talk about how I'm here and why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I do want to talk about the trip you took to South Carolina with Jeremy to write. And in your words, you took a 6-day mushroom-filled trip. And I am curious, did you set out beforehand to make a psychedelic album, or did that sort of emerge from that time that you spent in South Carolina?
I love that question. I think it revealed itself to us because we didn't know what we were going to do next. We didn't know what the vibe was going to be. But yeah, Jeremy and I went just alone to Charleston. I just really, really love that city. And we got this Airbnb, and it had been a really long time since I had taken like a, what you call a God's dose. And so we sat outside, we had a bunch of candles lit, and we put on Patti Smith Horses, we put on Bob Dylan Time Out of Mind, we listened to Hypnotic Eye by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, we listened to Janis Joplin, Big Brother and the Holding Company, and then the next day we just kind of woke up. We were also reading a lot of really interesting books at the time. There was this Sam Shepard book that we read, that we kept kind of opening it up and skimming through it. It had lots of poems and imagery in it. And it was a book that he wrote about the Rolling Thunder Review and his time out there with Bob Dylan. And T-Bone Burnett had a great foreword in that. So I just feel like, you know, film, reading, the books that you're reading at the time, those things really, they influence the art in a big way.
I'm just going to reintroduce you for a minute. It's Margo Price. I'm talking to you on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. The next song that we're going to hear you play live, Margo, is Radio. And it taps into kind of the need to get away and turn off your phone. At what point in your sojourn to South Carolina did radio emerge?
So this is actually the last song that I wrote for this album. And I was grappling with a lot, personally, and just what I thought that, you know, people around me wanted. And when I'm home, I hike every day, and I do try to do it when I'm on tour as well, if I can find a place to go hike. But I went out in the woods one day and I just felt incredibly tangled up. And I knew that I had something boiling up inside of me, something that I needed to say. And I was doing my hike, and I go about 2.5-3 miles with my dogs, and the melody just came to me. And so I started singing the words and the melody into my phone as I was hiking through the trail. And then I got back home and I picked up my guitar and I found the chords. And that was one of those lightning fast songs that I got. And then I took it over to my drummer, Dylan Napier's house. And I was playing it. I was trying to figure out the beginning, and he put this drum machine on it, which is like very out of left field for us. But I just love how this one turned out. And I love the kind of wall of sound we get when that chorus hits. It's very like Traveling Wilburys, million acoustic guitars to, you know, keep it grounded.
Recorded live for World Cafe, this is Margo Price Radio.
I think I need to take some time out, and I want to turn my phone off. I just wanna be alone. Just let me be alone today. I'm saving all my extra money. Go out, get what they never buy me. Why do I feel so sick and tired? I'm sick and tired every day. Confused about how I feel. Don't let them fool you about what is real. I think the whole world's going crazy, and it makes us look insane. But all this thinking makes my head hurt, and all this running makes my feet hurt. I work my back right off my shirt, kick off my shoes and run away.
You are listening to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Margo Price is my guest today. She has a new album out called Strays. You just heard her performing the song Radio from that album. At the end of that song, Margo, you sing, "People try to push me around, change my face and change my sound, but I can't hear them. I tune them out and I turn them way down low." Your songwriting is very honest. It's very personal. You've never seemed to shy away from being who you are, at least publicly, and saying what you believe, even if it might make somebody uncomfortable. When you sing about tuning those people out, is that a new development for you, or have you always been good at ignoring that noise?
Oh, I think I put up a pretty good front of being tough sometimes. And you know, that's a defense mechanism that I have built from being hurt and, you know, being hurt by the public, being hurt by faceless, nameless people on the internet. It's something that I am working on. It's something that I have wanted to be for a very long time, but I can actually be a bit of a people pleaser, and I am insecure, but I look up to, you know, musicians like Joni Mitchell and like I said, Patti Smith, who just have been able to follow their path and do what they want, and having those kinds of like patron saints is huge, I think.
Margo Price is my guest today on World Cafe. In a song, you can sing something that's very personal and leave people wondering, like, what is she talking about exactly? Is that autobiographical? Is that really about her? You also, though, released a memoir in October called Maybe We'll Make It in October of 2022. And a memoir is very clearly like, this is my life. This is actually what happened. When you were writing your memoir, were there moments when you were like, maybe I don't want to put this out there. Maybe I don't want to write this part?
Oh, 100%. There were times where I would put off writing because I had reached a point in the story that was really difficult. Because it is kind of like opening up some old wounds and, you know, going through all those skeletons in your closet. And, you know, the first draft of the book looked a lot different than the book that is there now. Like I said, I spent 4.5 years on it. I did not have a ghostwriter. I really, though, after I read back the first draft of the book, and after I kind of had some space in between writing it, and, you know, I was also really struggling with my drinking at the time, I learned so much about myself. And I also knew that I just had to be more transparent because there were just so many holes in the story that it wasn't making sense. And I just really wanted people to know where I was coming from. And without a lot of that in there, it just wouldn't have been as good of a book. But I definitely got done writing it and had a almost like an anxiety, like panic attack after I turned in the final draft. I just got so scared about all of that being out there. And I was worried about my family reading a lot of it. I was worried about my husband's family reading a lot of it. And I sat down outside with my husband one night and I just was bawling my eyes out. And he said, I just don't understand. You know, you've been working on this for 4.5 years. Like, you should be so happy and so proud of yourself. And what are you scared about? And I said, well, I'm worried I'm going to burn all my bridges and never be able to go home again. And I'm, you know, going to be ousted. And he just turned to me and simply said, you belong to no one. And, you know, he's like, we're all going to die. This is not as frightening as you're making it out to be. And I just thought that was really powerful as him, as my husband, to say that I belong to nobody and that I didn't have to feel that way. It was exactly what I needed to hear. And I actually got it tattooed on my arm. I included that story kind of in the liner notes of my album.
Oh, wow. That just gave me goosebumps when you told that story. Yeah. I, now that it's been out for a few months, how are you feeling? What's the reaction been like?
I feel so free. I think, you know, owning my truth, sharing my story, you know, people write about me all the time, but being able to write about myself and being able to kind of take control of my destiny and where I've been and where I want to go, it's been very freeing. And I went out on a book tour. I met so many incredible fans. Being able to hear their stories and their losses and their grief and how we can kind of commiserate together. It's been soul enriching for me. I really feel like I have the best fans, and I've just really got to meet a lot of great people. I always go back to this quote that is that misery shared is misery halved, because I think it is. I think when you share it, it helps people from feeling alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a big part of misery is that feeling that you're all alone.
Yeah.
My guest today is Margo Price. It's World Cafe. There is a part of your memoir where you talk about listening to Joni Mitchell. She's come up a few times as we've been talking today. And you talk about hearing her and how it was this really life-changing experience for you, hearing the album Blue. You call Joni Mitchell's song A Case of You a perfect song. To you, we're going to hear it. I'm going to play a clip of it in just a second. To you, what makes it a perfect song?
I just adore Joni Mitchell. I think that, you know, when she put that album out, it influenced so many people. She didn't get a Grammy for it, but it was a groundbreaking album. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of songwriters, they kind of tend to revisit the same old cliches. I know that Joni had an English teacher who just really pushed her not to write with a bunch of cliches. Or if you do, put a spin on it, put a twist on it, make it your own. And she's just really good at doing that. She's so good at conveying her emotions. And, you know, there can be some flowery words in there, but she really just cuts to the bone.
Here's Joni Mitchell, Case of You, on World Cafe.
I would still be on my feet.
On World Cafe, that was Joni Mitchell's Case of You. My guest today is Margo Price. I'm Rena Duris. So that song by Joni hit you when you were young, and you returned to Joni and artists like Dylan and Patti Smith and Janis Joplin while you were working on this album. You also had that mushroom experience when you were young, and you returned to that on this album as well. What is the common thread here? Like, why have you kind of looped back around and gone full circle, but taken this new step?
Yeah, I think, you know, for a while I was very into listening to mostly country artists and, you know, pulling inspiration, obviously, from Loretta Lynn and, you know, even Johnny Cash and then I kind of went through this, the Fleetwood Mac, Heartbreakers kind of phase on the Rumors album that Sturgill Simpson produced. But, you know, my roots were always kind of there in folk, and Joan Baez being another huge pillar for me. But I didn't want to worry about genre. I wanted to just focus on the song. And I think that's what a lot of those artists do, is that they are just focused on the song. So it's like you can dress it up with any kind of, you know, synths or electric guitars, or it can be pedal steel and mandolin. But when you just sit down and you just play it on the guitar, or you just play it at the piano, I just want the song to stand up. And so that's what we were going for.
Margo Price is my guest today on World Cafe. We have one more song we're going to hear from you today, the song County Road. Margo, what can you tell us about County Road before we hear it?
This song, the band and I are all very deeply emotionally connected to this song in particular. My husband and I wrote it, partially influenced by Boys of Summer, a song that Mike Campbell wrote. And we had lost a friend of ours very young, very tragically, to cancer and also to the broken American healthcare system. He was young. He was a drummer. He played with a lot of bands that we were close with. He's played with me before. His name was Ben Eystone, and it was devastating when he passed. But the song is kind of about how he kind of got out before things really changed and before things really got really bad, because it was like in Nashville, the tornado hit and then lockdown happened. And so this is kind of just like an homage to the past and to what we thought were the bad old days, but they were actually the good old days. And Ben didn't have a car. He was always borrowing his roommate, my bass player, Kevin Black's car, and people would see him driving around town. But this is kind of a song where he gets to heaven and he finally gets that car.
This is County Road from Margo Price on World Cafe.
Sometimes I wanna see it burn in my-
Margo Price, live for World Cafe. That was County Road. It's a song from her new album, Strays. Strays is out now, and so is Margo's memoir, Maybe We'll Make It. Margo, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Raina. I appreciate it.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.